ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti, text number 12. Tato grihitvam ritabhajanam harir bhavas ishat smita shobhaya gira yad abhyupetam kvacha sadhva sadhuva kritam mayavo vibhaje shudam imam. Lesson and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having taken possession of the container of nectar, smiled slightly and spoke in attractive words. She said, "My dear demons, if you accept whatever I may do, whether honest or dishonest, then I can take responsibility for dividing the nectar among you." Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot abide by anyone's dictation. Whatever he does is absolute. The demons, of course, were deluded by the illusory potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus Mohini Murti got them to promise that whatever she would do, they would accept. Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees, before I begin. So translation once again. Thereafter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having taken possession of the container of nectar, smiled slightly and spoke in attractive words. She said, "My dear demons, if you accept whatever I may do, whether honest or dishonest, then I can take responsibility for dividing the nectar among you." So in this beautiful narration, we have reached the stage where the demons, being attracted by the beauty of Mohini Murti, even though being cautioned by her, she's revealing her actual position, and she's even cautioning all of them that one should not trust any woman, right? But still, as the nature of demons, or in general to speak anyone, it is easy to get deluded or tempted by seeing such a beautiful woman as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Mohini Murti. So now the demons are reciprocating to the desire, and they have handed over the pot of nectar to Mohini Murti for distribution, thinking that when this nectar will be distributed by the beautiful hands of this beautiful woman, it will become still more nectarian. In that mood, they have given up their pot containing the nectar. And still, even at this stage also, even when she has received the pot, she is not failing to caution them that if you are ready to accept whatever I do, whether honest or dishonest, Mohini Murti is very particular in selecting the words. And she's telling them that I may be honest or dishonest. Are you ready to accept that? But still, demons are demons, right? So, but the beautiful aspect of this whole statement, whole conversation is, Mohini Murti is telling, if you are ready, then I am also ready to take the responsibility of dividing this nectar amongst you. So this is one of the beautiful characteristic feature of the Lord, taking responsibility of those who are ready to follow whatever he desires or whatever he says. Right? So Bhagavatam gives so many descriptions of so many pastimes, but when very beautiful pastime comes, which depicts this aspect of the Lord of taking responsibility, which comes in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna is at Dwarka, all of us know that, and there is a stage when Jarasan is attacking. He attacked initially Mathura and then even attacks Dwarka, and when the last time when he comes to attack, At that time, even Kalyavan is coming. So Krishna runs away. Krishna and Balaram, both of them, they run away in fear. It appears that they are fearful of Jarasandha, but Acharya explain, and in future conversation, it's clear that what was the reason for Krishna Balaram to run away from Jarasandha. So both of them, they run and they climb the Pravarshana mountain. And from there, when Jarasandha is not able to find them, both of them, thinking that they must be hiding in some caves, Jarasandha puts wood all around the mountain and lights it up, thinking that they will be burnt in that fire. And he goes from there, and Krishna Balaram jumps from that Pravarshana mountain, which is approximately 90 miles high. They jump and they come back to Dwarka. And as soon as Krishna Balaram comes to Dwarka, there is one personality who's waiting for them. And that is the Brahmana who was being sent by Rukmini. So Rukmini Devi, the daughter of Bhishmaka, she had been hearing about Krishna from the so many sages who normally used to come to her father's assembly. And just by hearing this beautiful glories and pastimes of the Lord, she developed so much attraction for the Lord that in the mind of mine, she accepted Krishna as her husband. And when Rukmi, her brother, decided to get her married to Shishupal, and whole marriage ceremony was arranged, that time Rukmini sends this Brahmana with a letter to Krishna. And Krishna meets this Brahmana and inquires from him that what was the purpose for his coming. So Brahmana reads about the letter which Rukmini has written to him. There are beautiful verses. And when we are discussing this pastime, one thing we can learn is Rukmini here, we can take it like that. Rukmini is representing a devotee, right, as a sadhaka, and Krishna the Supreme Lord as he is. So what is the mood? What is the mood in which a devotee approaches the Lord, right? When he wants to dedicate his life, when he wants to surrender his life to the Supreme Lord, there is a way of approaching it which Rukmini very beautifully depicts. So Rukmini writes in her letter that, "O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. O Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth and influence." So she's giving the reasons why she accepts Krishna as her husband. So as a devotee also, when you accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, it is not just blindly. Because as we know that Krishna is a possessor of all six opulences. So Rukmini is categorizing or analyzed Krishna in a proper way, and she is mentioning that because there is no one equal to you in everything, in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth and influence. O lion among men, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come, right? And therefore she says, "My dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband and I surrender myself to you." These are the reasons which Rukmini is presenting, why she has selected Krishna as her husband. And in a request, as a devotee, we always, whenever we come before the deities, there is always a prayerful mood, and always there is a mood of request, mood of prayers. And what is that request? She is telling, Rukmini is telling that, "My dear Lord, I have accepted you, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself unto you. Therefore, please come swiftly, O Lord, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, let Shishupal never touch the hero's position like a jackal stealing the property of a lion." So here, you can take this Shishupal and all other kings, those assembled, Shishupal, Dantavakra, Jarasandha, even Pondrak, they had all come for the swayamvar of Rukmini Devi. So we can consider them as the agents of Maya. A devotee is always under attack, influence of Maya. So here is Rukmini as a devotee, she is praying to the Lord, Please save me from them, and I can only be saved if you consider me or if you take me along with you. You are my only hope. So by hearing these prayers, Krishna is also attracted to her. And he tells the Brahmana, don't worry, I will come. And Krishna follows. He tells the Brahmana, you can go ahead and I will follow you. So Krishna immediately comes there. But at the same time, as a devotee, we always tend to offer prayers, requesting for Lord's mercy. But how many times do we really experience Lord's reciprocation? Right. And even if we experience that reciprocation is not immediate. It takes some time, or we fail to understand that reciprocation. Why? Because we have our own way of understanding of Lord's reciprocation. Right. So therefore, Rukmini is here in Vidarbha. She is waiting for Krishna's arrival. She is thinking why Krishna has not come till now. Why Krishna? The time is going up. Tomorrow morning I am going to get married. And still the Brahmana has not arrived. Neither there is any message from Krishna. So in such situations, a devotee always tends to get morose. Devotee always tends to get upset. Right? We may feel, I am a devotee from so many years. I have been chanting from so many years. Still Maya is attacking me. Still anarthas are still there. Still the propensity to criticize others. Still fault-finding mentality. Everything is going on. There is no change. Still that independent mentality is there. Is the process working or not? Is Krishna reciprocating with me or not? All this doubt comes. And sometimes we even doubt whether really Krishna is there. Is he hearing my prayers? So even Rukmini was also doubting. But the difference between Rukmini's doubt and our doubt is that of a difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. A conditioned soul, the general tendency is to blame Krishna. But I am the best, I have done everything whatever required, and you are not reciprocating. The nature of a conditioned soul is he tries to define, or he has his own parameters to understand Krishna's mercy or Krishna's reciprocation. I think it should be like that. I think it should go like this. But Krishna is not a matter of I. Or Krishna consciousness or bhakti is not a matter of what I think or what we think. It is a matter of what Krishna thinks. Right? So many times this doubt comes. But a devotee who is advanced, who is advancing on this process, or liberated soul, he never sees fault in Krishna. He thinks that there is some fault in me, because of which Krishna is not reciprocating with me. And let me come up to that level to which Krishna sees some good qualities in me and Krishna feels to reciprocate with me. That is a pure devotee's or advanced devotee's symptoms. And Rukmini here is also in that same mood. When she does not see the Brahmana's arrival, when she does not get any hint of Krishna's arrival, she simply prays, tells herself that perhaps the faultless Lord, she's telling the Lord is faultless. He does not have any fault. He does not have any defects. Perhaps the faultless Lord, even while preparing to come here, saw something contemptible in me and therefore has not come to take my hand. So the Lord may be desiring, she's telling, but because there is some fault, therefore the Lord has not come. Therefore he is not reciprocating. So Rukmini takes the whole blame on herself. Right? And this is a devotee. To find faults, to find weakness in one's own self, rather than finding faults in others and in situations or circumstances and in Krishna. That is a devotee's symptom, which Rukmini is teaching or very beautifully depicting here. And in this way, when she's thinking like that, tears are flowing from her eyes. And she's just remembering that, okay, he has not come till now, but still there is time. This is very beautiful. Even though it sounds very simple, still, there is still some time, Rukmini is telling. So another feature of a devotee, patience. Utsaha nishchayat dhairyat. So patience is the thing which gives everything. We just have to wait for some time for Krishna to really reciprocate with us. Rather than thinking like, just few days, last week I met one of my boys. He came from Pune. He just started chanting from last 1.5 years. And he's telling, Prabhuji, I cannot chant now any longer. I'm like, why? What's the problem? I'm not getting any taste. I'm feeling very dry. I'm not getting any ecstasy. I asked, from how many months you are chanting? Since from last 1.5 year. I said, I'm chanting from 11 years. Still the condition is same. You are just chanting from last 1.5 years, and here is 11 years, still the same thing is there. So the problem, and he's saying, I may not continue. If this thing goes on like this only, I feel that perhaps I may not continue to chant. So I said, you may feel or you may not feel. You have to chant. Because it is only a matter of time. You give time for chanting, you give time for spiritual activities, and automatically, Krishna is up to Krishna. So he was telling, no, it should happen like that. It should happen like that. When you initially met me, you told me, just chant Hare Krishna, you will be happy, but I don't see any symptoms of happiness, nothing, this, that. No, that will come. That will come. That is definitely going to come. Why are you trying to understand or analyze Krishna according to your this thing? Let Krishna think. Let Krishna find you fit. Whenever he feels, he will do it. Like once Vishwaroopa Prabhu asked Maharaj in one of the Bhagavatam classes, that Maharaj, we have been chanting from so many years, from last 25, 30 years. But still, we just keep on hearing about that taste, but we have never experienced that. When will it come? When is that going to come? So Maharaj very beautifully said that it may come now, or Krishna may give it to you now, or he may give it to you just few seconds or few minutes before your death. So that is up to Krishna. So we cannot define Krishna, or we cannot put Krishna into our way of working, and which Prabhupada very beautifully explains in this purport, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot abide by anyone's dictation. Whatever he does is absolute. So we have no control over Krishna's activity, or what Krishna is going to do. What is there on our side is the endeavor. And Krishna's mercy, just have to wait, which Rukmini is doing here. She's just telling, there's still time. Let me just wait. And what is the result? She is just waiting for the Brahmana to arrive. And immediately, she felt some twitch in her left thigh, left arm, and left eye. So this is what initially it comes like. Namavas, when you start chanting, initially you feel some attraction, some taste. And then you feel, oh yes, now the process has worked. Now Krishna is reciprocating. And then she saw that this was a sign that something desirable is going to happen. And then Krishna, finally, the Brahmana comes. He tells Rukmini that, yes, Krishna is there, right on the outskirts. He is waiting for you. And next day when Rukmini is out for the familial ritual of worshipping goddess Durga before the marriage ceremony, even on the while going to the temple, she seeing all of them, all the kings, all the prince worker, who had come for the Swayamvar. But she is not able to see Krishna. Still that thought, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Why is he not appearing? She goes inside, does her worship of Durga Devi, and when she comes back, slightly with her hand, she moves the hair over her eyes. And from the sidelong glances, she sees the beautiful Krishna standing there. And even though all of them are standing there, all the agents, those who are standing there, Krishna just holds her hand and pulls her on the chariot and takes her away to Dwarka. So this is how Krishna works. At the end, when you are desperate, when your desire becomes so intense that you cannot be without Krishna, that is the time when Krishna comes. He comes and takes you. Right? So therefore, as a devotee, especially today's 31st year ending, especially we sit and analyze, and especially when we become devotees, today is the day when I became a devotee, today is the day when I joined ashram, and then we feel, so many years have passed. And that day we sit and analyze ourselves, greet ourselves, where am I? What I have achieved, which stage I have reached till now, what changes have been taken place in my heart. And many times, as in my case, I just feel, as it is, what it was before till there. And normally sometimes we tend to get morose, depressed. But such pastimes is elevating, mood elevators. They prepare you that no need to worry, no need to doubt. One day or the other, just continue. One day or the other, Krishna is going to come. He is going to reciprocate with you. And this is the mood of Vrindavan. Here, Mohini Murthy is telling, if you are ready to accept whatever I may do, honest or dishonest, I am ready to take the responsibility. Right? So Rukmini Devi, she had nothing, just to discharge her devotional service, express her feelings, when Krishna took the responsibility. And the mood of Vrindavan is, as Gaurang Prabhu was very beautifully explaining in our council meeting, that the whole mood of Vrindavan is to do what Krishna, what gives pleasure to Krishna. And just to follow Krishna, whatever is his desire. Whether you may like it or you may not like it. Sometimes you may not appreciate Krishna's activities. Sometimes you may not like a person. But still, you have to follow. Why? Because that gives pleasure to that person. And this is very beautifully depicted in the Govardhan Leela pastime. When Krishna, when all the Brajvasis were engaged in the Govardhan Puja, Krishna just came, he was small, playing around, he just comes and tells, don't do this puja. Just give up this Indra Puja. Just worship Govardhan. So all the Brajvasis, even though initially they say, yes, no. But finally they surrender to Krishna. Why? Knowing that this is what is going to give pleasure to Krishna. And even knowing the consequences, what is going to be. They knew it. But this is the Indra Puja that has been going from so many years. If we stop, definitely Indra is not going to be happy. But still, they just surrender to Krishna's desire because that is going to make Krishna happy. And what is the result? The result is Govardhan Puja is done, everybody is happy, but Indra shows his actual angry, he's becoming angry and is implementing, he's doing all nonsense. And what does devotees do? They simply run to Krishna. Because we have done everything for Krishna, so Krishna has to take care. They have no other shelter. And therefore, when they come to Krishna for help, so Krishna does not say, come on, go away. Why did you listen to a small child? Who told you to listen? After all, I was a small boy. Why do you take this seriously? What can I do now? No. Because they did what Krishna wanted, Krishna has to take the responsibility. And Krishna very beautifully quotes in that pastime. He says, I must therefore protect the coward community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master, and indeed they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. This is Krishna telling to him before going to lift the Govardhan mountain. Krishna saying, I have taken a vow. Because my devotees have taken a vow to satisfy me, to please me, I also have taken a vow to take care of them at whatever cost. And then when he goes, after inviting all the devotees, he lifts the Govardhan mountain, and he tells all the devotees, come under the Govardhan mountain, take shelter of this. And then he says, you should have no fear. You should have no fear that this mountain will fall from my hands. And don't be afraid of the wind and rain for your deliverance from these afflictions has already been arranged. So even before we think also, Krishna automatically makes all the arrangements. There is no need to fear from the wind or anything. Therefore, a devotee does not have to fear once he comes in the shelter of their lordships. Even we may not be able to understand how Krishna is working, but much before our thinking also, Krishna has made all the arrangements for us to see to it that we be safe. Then the secondary thing, that what desires we make, whether we want to continue serving him or whether we want to become independent and serve our own self and our own senses. But as long as a devotee's desire is to serve Krishna, Krishna completely takes charge of them. There is no doubt about it, as depicted in these beautiful verses by Krishna's own words. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains that Lord Krishna forgetting his hunger and thirst. Lord Krishna forgot his hunger and thirst, and putting aside all considerations of personal pleasure, stood there holding up the hill for 7 days as the people of Braj gazed upon him. Right? So this is the extent the Lord can go in order to reciprocate or respond to the devotee's call. He can give up his eating, give up his sleeping, give up his drinking, give up his own personal pleasure, the considerations of his personal pleasure also. Why? To see to it that my devotees remain safe. So when the Lord can go to such an extent, then what is remaining for us? What is remaining for us to do? Nothing. We just have to continue do what we are doing for the pleasure of the Lord. And in this case of Rukmini also, when Krishna decided, when Brahmana came with that letter, Rukmini was there at a different place. And she's just waiting, when will Krishna come? Is Krishna going to come? But when the discussion took place, when the Brahmana read the letter, what is Krishna telling to that Brahmana? That just as Rukmini's mind is fixed upon me, my mind is fixed on her. So this is not known to Rukmini. Rukmini is thinking just only I love Krishna. But what is Krishna thinking? It's not just that only Rukmini is loving me, I also, my mind is also fixed on her. I can't even sleep at night. This is the Lord's distress for his devotees. Even the Lord cannot sleep at night for his devotees. And I know that Rukmini, out of envy, has forbidden our marriage. And then he makes a very beautiful point. She has dedicated herself exclusively to me, and her beauty is flawless. I will bring her here after thrashing those worthless kings in battle, just as one brings a blazing flame out of firewood. So 2 points which Krishna speaks about Rukmini, that her beauty is flawless and she has completely dedicated herself exclusively to me. So exclusive dedication and flawless beauty. And what is flawless beauty? Is the character of a devotee. As Maharaj often quotes, sincere, serious, and without ulterior motives. This is what attracts Krishna. And that is what attracted, this quality Rukmini had, and that was attractive to Krishna. And therefore Krishna also decided that, yes, I will accept her. And therefore he immediately tells his charioteer, get the chariot, drive the chariot, let us go to the Vidarbha, let us take Rukmini. So such descriptions, when they come in Bhagavatam, when we come across, is hope giving. No need to doubt. Element of doubt should not come. Giving up all our parameters of trying to understand Krishna's mercy, that Krishna should act like this, Krishna should do like this, or this is the time factor, because Krishna consciousness is not time considerate. Just as Krishna is beyond all material and considerations, similarly his mercy is also beyond material considerations. We cannot think that, or the spiritual subject matter itself also, it is not that I am chanting for 2 rounds, or for 2 years, for so many rounds for 2 years, therefore I should get this much mercy, I should get this much taste. It is no material calculation, there is no formula for it. It is Krishna's own sweet free will. Whenever Krishna feels, he will do it. And what is there on our part? To make Krishna feel for us. To attract Krishna. That Krishna, see, I am there. Please have a glance on me. Look at me, I am also there, standing in line for mercy. So in this verse, Mohini Murti is ready. She is ready to serve the demons also. That I am ready to do whatever, since I am ready to serve you all, provided you are ready to do whatever I tell you to do. She is putting conditions. And for what? For the nectar. But here we see that when that same Mohini Murti appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not put any considerations. And what is distributing? Not just nectar. What can nectar give? Nectar can give you just immortality, but it's not actually immortality also. After all, when the whole creation and annihilation can take place, you are going to be there. Only it's a matter of time. It may just prolong your life. It may appear that you are not going to die. But when the annihilation takes place, everything is going to go. Everything will be lost. But when that same Mohini Murti comes to distribute something more, something superior, something great, something incomparable to that nectar, then he does not put any considerations. He does not put any conditions. He just goes on distributing freely. And what is that? That is the nectar of Krishna Prem. It's the nectar of holy name. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami, in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, very beautifully, in the 7th chapter, is explaining the 5 truths, the panchatattvas. He very beautifully explains in few verses. He says, Sei panchatattva mili prithvi asiya purva prema bhandara mudraya ughadiya. So where was the love of Godhead? It was stored in a godown, locked. And this, when the Supreme Lord appears as panchatattva, what does he do? He just breaks open the lock of this godown of love of Godhead. Panche mili lute preme kare aswadan yata yata piye trishna bade anukshan. So, they are breaking open this and tasting it. Here Mohini Murti is not tasting the nectar before distributing. Why? Because the nectar is of no use. You know, knows actually what nectar is. But here, even Krishna is so eager to taste love of Godhead. Therefore, he's tasting it before distributing. All of them, they are tasting it. Panchamili lute preme kare aswadan yata yata piye trishna bhade anukshan. And as they are tasting it, the desire to drink it or taste it more is increasing. They are not satisfied. Puna puna piyai hai madamat nache kande hase gaye yache madamat. And when they are drinking, what is happening? They are going to ecstasy. Nache kande hase gaye. They are dancing, they are crying. So, people in this world also, they drink nectar. Demons are also drinking nectar. Today is 31st, day of nectar. Whole night will be of nectar. So, they also do all these things. They also dance, they also sing, and they feel that they are in ecstasy. But it's only a matter of time. Next day, tomorrow, 1st January, when everybody is supposed to begin a new year, what they are doing? They are simply sleeping because they have their hangouts. Headache. They can't even wake up till 12 noon or 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Whole night dancing and singing. But here, when the panchatattva, when they drank the love of Godhead, Amrita, they were in ecstasy. And after tasting this, what they are doing? Patra apatra vichara nahi, patra apatra vichara nahi, nahi sthana sthan, ehi yaha payataha kare premadan. And without seeing who is qualified or who is not qualified, patra patra vichara nahi, what they are doing, they are simply distributing this premadhan, this love of God, this wealth, this nectar of Krishna prem. Uchaila prema vanya chaudi khevedai stri virda balaka yuva sabara dubai. And it is not just who is qualified or who is not qualified. Anyone, whether it be stri, whether it be woman, whether it be old, whether it be a small child, whether a young man, everyone. They are just going on distributing in every directions, wherever they see. Sajjana durjan. Sajjana durjana pangu jada andagan. See the extent of mercy. There is no tinge of any consideration in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Sajjana, whether he be good, he may be durjan, he may be wicked. Pangu, he may be lame, he may be jada, invalid. Andha, he may be blind. To everyone, Sajjana durjana pangu jada andha gan preme vanjaye dubaila jagate rajan. In this love of Godhead, love for Krishna, this panchatva inundating all of them. Jagat dubaila jivera hoila bija nash taha deki panchajanera parama ullas. And what is the result of distributing this nectar of love of Godhead. This nectar of love of Godhead, what does he do? Jagata dubai jivera hoila bijanash. The seed for material sense gratification is destroyed. That is the power of this nectar of Krishna Prem. Whereas this nectar which Mohini is going to distribute, that is simply going to increase the demons or the demigods. Why they want nectar? So that they can live long, immortalities. Why? So that more sense gratification. But the nectar which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing, that is to destroy the seed, not just the sense gratificatory activities, but the seed for performing these sense gratificatory activities. Such great is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Taha deki panchajanera parama ullas. So when Panchatva sees this, that people's desire, the proclivity for sense gratification, that seed for material enjoyment is being destroyed, seeing that, Panchatva becomes so happy, so ullas, they go into ecstasy. So therefore, this is the hope. We should not actually crave for nectar which Mohini Murthy is distributing. That same Mohini Murthy, when he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Panchatattva, what they are distributing, we don't have to do Samudra Manthan also. We don't have to do any other task which the demons and the demigods are undergoing. So easily Prabhupada has given us, Mahaprabhu has given us, the whole of our Acharya has given us this nectar without any consideration. So the only thing that remains for us to just accept it, just follow the instructions and perfect our lives without any element of doubt and doubt in the mercy of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Advice, patience. You're impatient.